Welcome to the Old Fashioned Three. They've been around basketball from the Big Dipper to the Greek Freak, from Russell Celtics to Curry's Warriors, from Peach Baskets to Paolo Banchero. Here are Whitey Gleason, Phantom, and Jerry Reynolds.
Yes, that was that cat, all right.
Perhaps you wonder sometimes, Jerry Reynolds, does he still have the pull? Does he still have the clout? Well, look where we are today.
Whoa.
Not only are we in the old Arco, they put the floor out for Jerry.
Yep.
They get the flags up and everything. That's tremendous. Yeah, thanks, Jerry.
If I really had pull, you'd have the old one, the original little 10,000 yeah. building. And it's pretty clear Stones don't have that kind of pull, does it?
He doesn't have that in the archives.
No,
the archives are closed.
Maybe down the road. Save that for down the road.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Kings at this point look like they're falling apart. A lot of questions. And so we were hoping to find the answer. So we assembled the finest panel of basketball minds that we were able to on such short
We didn't have a lot of time. No. Rolodex a little thin. Yeah.
Yeah. The icon himself, Jerry Reynolds, and Mr. Basketball. Mm-hmm. So anybody know what the heck's going on here?
I'll ask you.
Let's see.
I defer.
Mr. Defense Schmefense?
Well, defense,
you want to start?
I'm going to talk about offense Schmefense. They can't make a shot, okay?
Ah.
They can't make a shot. You can't guard anybody. And, you know, there's a key guy out, which you should be able to accommodate or adjust for against a Houston team, and you didn't do it. So that's what happened. You should be able to deal with that kind of absence. You couldn't because they can't make a shot. Basically, can't make a shot.
Yeah. They just looked lost, Jerry. That's the thing.
Sure did. I mean, lost and really no effort. I didn't see a good effort, especially that second game. I assumed after the bad game on Saturday, we'd see a team come out and really play hard early on. That game was over in the first 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about Houston, or we talked about last year being so young and everything, and obviously they still are pretty young. You give a team like that a taste, all of a sudden we're talking about, well, the Kings are going to bounce back in the second game. Houston's like, hey, wait a minute. We beat these guys pretty good right now, and we didn't even play that well. And they come out, they're thinking they could win, and that, I think, was the overriding thing. The Kings should have bounced back, but Houston said, hey, we got a chance to get another one, and they just came out and grabbed it.
Well, I do think Houston's a lot better than they were or people thought they
would be. They're a bad matchup for the Kings, too, aren't they?
But, I mean, here's what they've done, I think, is clearly they've got three young guys who are better.
They're gifted and
a year older. Jalen Green and St. John, clearly a good player.
Yes, good.
And Jabari Smith
is finally looking like we thought he'd look last year.
Mm-hmm.
So those three guys, and then you add two veterans, mm-hmm. Van Vliet and our beloved Dillon Brooks. And maybe even more important, a new coach. And I think, you know, Ime Udoka's a proven winner. And he's, you know, I don't know. They could be this year's Kings.
Jerry, come on.
I don't think they will be, but I think they're going to improve 10 to 15 games. And so
it'll be a lot stronger than we really thought projecting in the beginning of the season.
Definitely, I can't imagine them not being. You just look at their talent, you know, and how hard they play. Now, you know, it'll run its course, but that has nothing to do. You know, to me, that's not an excuse for the Kings. It might be if they lost two close games.
Right.
I don't believe they did lose two close
games. No, I looked at the scores. They didn't look that close to me. Mathematically,
There was a play, Phantom. I'm sure you saw, you being a keen basketball observer that you are, you noticed this right away, probably jumped off the couch, where there was an inbounds play, and you had – Herter was guarding Jalen Green, and he didn't want to leave him, so he was right up on him. Jalen Green set a screen on Sasha.
Yeah,
Sasha gets hung up on the screen. There's no one guarding the cutter. Domas is pointing like, someone's got to guard him. No one does, so he rushes over, commits a foul, and then he says, you could hear him, he says, what are we doing? And I just, to me, that was what we're all asking right now. Those last two games, what are they doing? They just seem lost.
Is it simple enough to say that it's just they didn't have their guy?
I'm
not saying that's an excuse. I'm saying as far as a reason, and they look like you said, they look like they were lost out there. I mean, that's Herter. Obviously, Vezenkov is new, but Herter's supposed to know what to do, and Sabonis knows what to do. So maybe it's as simple as the guy that runs the show just isn't there.
No, I don't believe it, and I'll say why. Because they played terrific without him against Golden State.
Right, and again, they should have.
Oh, they and they had it. But anyway, they didn't.
I know, but
it wasn't anything like we saw the next
It was nothing
two.
Like that, but and we talked about that day. You know, sometimes you have that surge right away when you lose a guy and you kind of step up, and they did. They just didn't close it down. But then, man, they just didn't keep doing that, though.
No. And I, of course, they missed Fox. I mean, he's the best player. But it's also true he was missed games last year, mm-hmm. and they hung together pretty good. So
yeah, these two games, they didn't even show up.
I mean, you know, I just
you're asking me to explain to you why they lost to Houston twice in a row.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you,
okay.
Terry.
Even that, they lost to Houston twice in a row. Oh, well, wow, I could see that happening. But just a total lack of having any idea what they were doing was the, you know, absolutely stunning thing.
Yes, for a veteran team.
Yeah, and yeah. Like you say, okay, without Fox, okay, they lose to Houston twice on the road by 3 or 4 points each game. Okay,
that's disappointing, but okay.
But now you can say, well, if they had Fox,
mm-hmm.
but these two games, well, no, you know, if
yes,
you know, basically, you need a young LeBron to make up for what else was going on.
Well, clearly, when Fox is out, you need a lot from a lot of people, but
right.
Most notably, Keegan Murray. The way the team is built, fairly or unfairly, in a second year, they need him to be one of their top three players, and he's not playing well, and they need Sabonis to be even more of a threat than he was last year, and he's not a threat at all right now offensively.
No, he was. He played by far the worst game I've ever seen anywhere, including Indiana. You know, I mean, I've never seen him be so unproductive. And as you said, I thought there was a case where a lot of what he's always done that worked is draw a few people to him, kick out the 3-point shooters who actually hit shots.
Yeah, that's a different look. Yeah,
but
that's an important concept. Yeah.
But
we'll probably come back.
That's why he knows the game, this guy.
But
yeah.
it's pretty clear, and it should have been clear to Domas. That if, well, maybe I ought to go look, try to score more since
more than four shots, you mean?
Yeah, more than four shots and kicking out the guys who ain't about to make it.
Yeah. And the thing that was hard to watch was it was almost as if Şengün, and you know I like Şengün, it's almost like
him.
He said, hey, this is how you do it. Watch. Domas, this is what you should be doing. Jump shot. Boom. Right? And
yeah.
He had 14 rebounds. He had a lot of assists. He beat him badly at what's supposed to be Domas' own game.
Yeah, he was a young Domas.
Yeah.
You know, basically he's playing like a young Domas, and like you say, Domas – that's what you're supposed
yes.
to be, and I'm my second year.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I always say, I always think in terms of, remember the draft when they Kings drafted Davion, and remember one of the guys I do on the Kings Herald podcast, Tony Zipteris, was saying, man, that Alfred St. John, I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
St. John guy's
good, Alfred
yeah.
St. John.
Yeah,
and,
Alfred
you know,
St. John.
So I texted him. I think it was Saturday night, and I said, damn, you're right.
Tell your guy to tone it down a little bit, okay?
Yeah, I think King's better get you on the staff.
Yeah. You mentioned Davion. We all love Davion. Is Davion – I was going to ask if he's part of the problem. Clearly, he's not – he had a good game against Warriors, but he's not taking advantage of this opportunity he has in front of him with Davion out. Excuse me, with De'Aaron out, pardon me.
Yeah, no, I think he is part of the problem. And I've been one of his bigger supporters, you know. But we were talking in the car show.
Car show, yeah, good show today.
Four stars.
And,
good Yelp reviews.
And I mentioned to Mr. Gleason that I'd got an interesting tidbit from Grant Napier doing a halftime show with him. And he said, Davion doesn't fit this team as a starter. He's too, you know, he's too slow. He just doesn't push the ball up enough. And I think there's some truth in that. I'd never, you know, but when you think about it, that's just not his game.
Right.
I always remember we were talking about when he's at Baylor, terrific. But they were a half-court team.
Absolutely, yeah.
He'd guard you, and he could score enough, but he was a half-court team. They'd, you know, trot it up and beat you up.
And let me add this log to that fire. Davion was quoted in the B. I think Jason Anderson talked to him. Davion said, you know, it's hard to play as fast as they want us to play and play good defense. That was a quote. That was in the paper Monday. And he said, you know, we have to do it. All good teams have to do it. But it seems like he does have an issue with pushing the pace as much as Mike Brown for some reason right now wants him to push the pace. You're not making shots, not guarding anybody. Why are you pushing the pace, Phantom?
If he has it, because that's the way you play, right?
Isn't that the way you play?
That's, well, I mean, that's the way you won 48 last year. That's the way you play. And if he can't, he's saying, I think what he's saying is more than just he can't. He said we can't. We can't play this pace and still play defense.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do. And that's very discouraging. The other discouraging thing I thought was Mike Brown after the game talking about how many fouls they committed and go, I don't care if they body him up and get fouls, but they're reaching. That's discouraging. I mean, they had four or five guys in foul trouble early in that game. And, you know, if they're just sitting there reaching, I mean, that defensive revolution that we've started, it doesn't seem to be going so well.
Must win tonight? I'm just asking. I never asked that about.
You know why? Because Friday is a huge game. It starts the in-season tournament.
Oh, God.
It begins the in-season tournament, Jerry, where the floors are fancy.
Why does that make? Okay, we'll
I hate
those
floors. I hate them.
We'll
love them.
Well, why does that make tonight a must win?
You got to tune up. You got to tune up for it, right? Well, it's a must win because you're playing Portland without a couple of their best players, and you desperately need a win. And so, yes, it's a must win.
I agree. I never would have said in the past. Right. I mean, this is the first time in 100 years.
Yeah.
You don't like the must win concept.
Not this early, I don't.
Game number
Not
seven.
This early, but it's like you said, they got two key guys out. Of course, the Kings do too, but this is Portland, about the worst team in the league, and they haven't improved much, if any.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's a must win. And as we were talking in the car show, I said, one of the reasons I say that is because if you were to lose to Portland after losing two to Houston, now that's basically to three games against teams that were supposed to be at the bottom. So to make that up, you got to beat three teams at the top.
Right.
And that's pretty hard.
Which goes to what? Why you were saying on your show this week, which I was listening
Drive
to, maybe
guys,
last week, I don't know when it was, talking about people who don't value early season games as much as they do late season games, and you point out, hey, a win now counts just as much. I would say a win now, you know, these early wins you put in the savings account, right? Because you use them later when you need them later in the season.
Sure.
Savings account?
You put them in your savings account because later you put the wins in your checking account because you got to spend that right away because you need that at the end of the season to stay in the race.
You got everybody
but
in here
now,
shaking there.
But now, see, what you've got is these games.
How about a CD?
You can go IRA if you want. You got the game against the Warriors. You grab that game. You get a couple of road games against Houston. You got those for when you have a little lull later on in the season. Those are huge. Now you don't have that.
No,
now you don't have that.
You've had your lull.
Your savings account.
You've had an early lull.
Your savings account is nil.
You're almost overdrawn.
Very well put, sir. Yes. So you don't have that to fall back on. Now you don't. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to reaffirm your point, Jerry.
It's they've got themselves in a hole. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, those of us that are looking for excuses, and there's some amongst not, you know, well, the Kings started 0-4 last year.
They did.
Okay, and they
Great
did.
Great point.
And they came back and had a very good season. So can they do the same? Yes, sure they can. Not like they played this weekend.
That's the thing. That's the difference.
Yeah.
The difference also was in last year, no one knew how good they were, and there were high hopes. But it's like, and this year, expectations were very high.
Yes.
Yeah. But the team just crumbled the last two games, as everybody knows. I know I keep saying that, but it's just I'm still trying to wrap my head around what exactly happened. But they can go a long ways towards remedying that tonight. They have to. They must do that.
A long way toward it. I think you need to take one little small step. If you knock off today and then take care of business, you know, later in the week as well, okay. But you can't just win one game and say you're all the way back.
No. Of course not.
So, I mean, they've got to go out there, obviously, and win tonight. But it's like we've been saying, there's so many guys that should have taken this opportunity and still can, Fox being out, to go ahead and
torching. Excuse me.
Well,
torching.
But not just that, but just got
torching. I don't know what's
is there something,
allergies
some problem?
Or something.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. Thanks.
I know coughing fit when he's talking. I don't know what that's all about. But it just seems like there's. I mean, they upgraded the talent around the two stars again this offseason, and so some of those guys and some of the guys who were, you know, starting like yesterday, Murray and Mr. Kevin Huerter, guys like that. This is the chance to go ahead and this is why Monty got all these guys, to lift the general level of talent on the team, and now they have to step up and take advantage of an absence.
A lot of people, Jer, said they didn't do enough this offseason. Do you think those people maybe right now, do they have reason to kind of crow a little bit?
Well, if they want to crow, they could be making a lot of chirping noises, couldn't they?
Chirping crows, man.
But, because right now you'd say what they did in the offseason hadn't really helped them.
Right.
I mean,
Duarte's not doing anything.
Doesn't mean they won't.
Vezenkov's not doing anything. And Keegan's, he's got to take, it's built upon Keegan, him taking those next steps.
Yeah, you know,
which
Keegan, we saw in the summer league, everything was heading the right direction.
Smooth.
And, now all of a sudden, the guy that had always made his shots don't make them, and looks. And I think he's rushing some of them. I think he shoots the ball too flat. It just doesn't look comfortable. And we were talking about this too. To me, you know, he was kind of like an Eddie Johnson guy. Mm. You know, that Eddie almost never took bad shots. Very selective in his shooting. That's why he part of the reason he was good for so long. And that's what we saw with Keegan last year. Mm-hmm. Very selective. You never saw him force a shot. And I think he's been in, you know, all this stuff. Hey, you got to go look for your shot. You know, you got to take that shot. Well, no, if he's not comfortable taking it, don't take
it. It's not a good shot.
So he's going outside his comfort zone, maybe because people talk to him, but also maybe he feels the absence of Fox. I've got to be one of the guys who steps up and picks up the slack.
Well, I think
so I got to go hunt a couple more shots.
You know what that reminds me of is a story in Moneyball, Scott Hatterberg. Scott Hatterberg, when he was with the Red Sox, if the first pitch was right down the middle, he would swing at it. And so he had, and that if it wasn't, he would take it. So he hit like, you know, 450 on the first pitch because it was one pitch he looked for, was there, boom. So the Red Sox came and said, you got to start swinging at the first pitch more often. You're hitting 450 on the first pitch. And he tried to explain to him, no, you don't understand.
That's solid reason.
Yeah, you don't understand. I only swing at it if it's, so it's the same type of thing, right? Keegan,
it is.
You got to take more shots because you shot so well last
shooting
year.
Well, yeah.
It's flawed reasoning.
I think it is. I mean, now I understand certainly without De'Aaron, everybody thinks they've got to do more, and they do.
They do, yeah.
But he wasn't making shots before.
And nobody else was either.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it really hadn't – I mean, Fox was there, and he wasn't making shots.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. You probably know this. Is Harrison Barnes still on the team?
No.
In
the
first game, he was
the
All-Star team.
He's
on the All-Star team. He was the MVP.
Did he trade him or something?
Yeah,
or?
And then last game, I guess, maybe he got stuck on 65 like I did today. He couldn't make it to the game on time.
I hate to do that because, you know, there's a lot of people that I think are unfair towards him, but it is kind of remarkable that, well, they could use a little more Harrison Barnes.
Well, obviously the 27 points and a half, but you don't get to take six games off after that.
Older player gets tired.
Yeah, sure, I can understand taking a half off, you know. But
it's not funny.
And he's been a real good player, but this is when they really need him to be involved. And he's got the skill to do it because you can't get 27 and a half. If you don't have some ability.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, is it fair to assume that a guy like Harrison Barnes, when things are going sideways, is going to settle down a younger team and help be one of the guys that, all right, let's get things back on track? Isn't that fair to assume he could do that?
Well, we've always assumed that, and he's sort of been that. I mean, I think he's one of those guys, in fairness, that he's never been quite as good as you wanted him to be, but he's never been missing in action totally.
Right.
He's had some
at a time when you need
he's had quiet games, but usually when others are really going well. I always thought that was a strength. He'd just blend in when not needed.
Yeah.
But the last time I checked, we're talking needed.
Yeah.
And it's hard to lead at all, no matter who you are, if you're not making shots. If you're over there going, well, I'm 1-for-7, I got to get these guys and settle them down and get them going. It's really hard to do that.
Yeah, and it turns out he's still on the active roster.
Did you check your phone? That's good. We'd like to be factual here at the old-fashioned three.
Well, I am surprised, though, that they didn't really try to post him up with everything going bad, post him up more, because he's got a post game.
Draw some fouls at
draw
least
some
or
fouls,
something's good at that.
Just to kind of have him out there as one of the standers on the perimeter.
Not standouts, but just standers. Just standing there, yeah.
Did you notice this? Maybe I imagined it. They come out third quarter of the second game, Monday night against the Rockets, and they were running like straight dribble drive motion stuff. And I assumed they're just trying to get back to basics, which is rather than go through Domus, they were just, you know, the guy gets the ball on the wing and you drive and then you kick and you drive. And I thought, okay, it's something different. Maybe they're just trying to get some kind of offensive movement going. Is that perhaps what was happening there?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. There has been a lot of standing around.
Yeah, yeah, a little, yeah. Too much. The standers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Alarming amount of standing
alarming
around.
Alarming amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all they need is a couple of shots to get knocked down, right? Oh. You come out tonight, you go ahead, you hit a couple threes right away, everybody's back in the groove, and it's all fine.
At some point, the ball's going to start dropping.
Well,
maybe.
Tonight
maybe.
Is the night.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
going to be all
yeah.
right.
Yeah. It can be. You know, that. Well, that's a, that's you know.
It might be.
Momentum, I mean, it really is the kind of the next shot for most shooters. Mm-hmm. I mean, you make a yeah. couple, you make a couple, and you're back on track if you ever were on track.
Now. Yeah. Can I share something with you guys?
Yeah, please do.
I feel like you want to.
I would like to.
Go ahead.
I would like to see just a little bit more tonight. Just at least a little bit more of Keon Ellis. Give him a chance the way he played. I know it was at the end of a game, a route. Yeah. He guards people. He's a really quick perimeter defender. He's not very strong by NBA standards, and he's not a great shooter, supposedly, right? But every time I see him, it's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
When you got a team that's not yeah. scoring and not defending – can it hurt to just put him in a little earlier tonight and see if you get anything?
You mean you think you're going to shake up the arena chemistry of this?
But isn't that true, Jer? Sometimes a guy can come out in a blowout either way and really shine, and maybe next time you come to him like 2 minutes earlier than you did before, or maybe
yeah.
think about him. Hey, wait a minute. Ellis was good the other day. I'm going to try Ellis and throw him in. I mean, that happens,
because
right?
there's so many guys right now that are just like, you know, flatlining for you.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that'd be some concern. I mean, of course, you know, I overreact, as you all know by now.
Are you saying start him, Jerry?
I say build a team around him. That's what I say.
He's a building block on
Keon,
the
Keon.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
I mean, just LS. Run the offense through him, kid.
Like the beam,
we need 40 out of you.
But it wouldn't hurt to play him, would it? To
no,
see
yeah. no, no. It couldn't. Could
yeah.
it?
No, it really couldn't. Actually, it really could.
No, that's when you do
you
it. When
blown
you,
out by Houston twice.
Yeah, what's yeah. the risk?
Yeah, there you go.
You know you're going to hurt somebody's feelings that wasn't doing anything for
somebody
you?
That was 2 for 9.
At this point, yeah, it's not like, well, those are my minutes. No one has earned many no, minutes right no. now the way they're playing on this
No,
team.
It's I mean, to me, you're not risking. You need to piss off a few guys.
Ah.
Light uh-huh. a fire.
Or piss off.
Or, you know, or then piss on the fire and put the fire out, sure.
Yeah. Okay, Phantom, you wanted to talk about the in-season tournament. Go.
Oh, big one. Yeah. We saw the floor. First of all, the floors, Jerry. Come on. Except for the one that was bright yellow, which I really had trouble looking at. Oh. The rest of it's fun. Come on, it's fun.
Yeah. No
it's like the Maui Invitational or something, which is exactly the look they're going for. They're yeah. trying to make it fun.
Yeah, we got...
We got a big game coming up Friday, Jerry. We get the first one.
Yeah, we got NBA turning into Oregon.
Oh, they have some nice floors. I like where you're going on that, Jerry.
Well, it's about as meaningful as the Maui Invitational,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, almost.
But, yeah.
yeah. But they're going to – this is going to – okay.
Kings are in a tough group, Phantom.
Oh, look, they're that, in, bottom that's line, a great they're point. They are in the toughest
tough
group.
Group. Yeah.
The worst team in their group is all of a sudden the most interesting team in the league with Wimby running around like the way he is. So it's going to be a tough group to get out of, Jared.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
are you kidding
yeah, no
me?
Question.
Thunder,
no question.
Clippers, Warriors.
But
that's
yeah,
tough.
Man, you know, now that Harden's with the Clippers, I would well, although they're 0-1
they
with him, but you know.
They had to get the, you always throw the first man.
Oh,
you kick
just
out.
Throw
you always
that
throw
out.
That out. Yeah,
yeah.
So you're
yeah
fine.
Well, they haven't settled into the Harden system yet.
And plus, that was not an in-season tournament game.
You know who has played really well since the Harden trade is the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Sixers are playing good basketball.
We're free. Least surprising thing I've heard in a long time.
No.
Yeah.
yeah.
Get rid of the Harden.
If it was ever everything yeah. predictable,
yeah.
that would be
drop
it.
A 2-ton weight off of us.
Yeah.
yeah. That's not a bad idea at all. Uh-huh. They have some decent players as well, so not surprised by that at all.
All right. I know that you said last time that you wanted to be the in-season tournament
yeah,
guy.
I'm really rethinking
so
that.
I wanted to give you the floor, and you, man.
Yeah. Other than
what?
The, other than
well,
the
I've
floor,
had a lot.
I
mean, we've yeah. only had one. We've only had a couple of teams play their first game.
You know that guy right there, yeah. he just went like this.
Yeah,
he just gave the.
Well, it would have been okay. Yesterday they didn't have any games on Tuesdays and Fridays. They're you know doing this tournament. They didn't have any game because
right.
election day. So that
right.
took a little bit. I mean, you know.
You know what I did one time? I voted. I went home and watched basketball in the
did
same
you?
Day. Yes. Yeah, can you believe
How
that?
How in the world
yeah.
could you do that?
You are a five-tool player right there.
My God.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. You know,
I appreciate what they're doing and understand it. I do
yes.
appreciate it. It's like, hello,
And yeah, it makes no sense. I don't care what they
there's
say.
There's a lot of people that can't go any. They're they don't work in the mornings or anything. They can't go all day.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. But still, I in the past many, I've done that many times actually.
I've voted many times too. I have.
Well, on the day you watch the basketball game,
sometimes I made a mistake in the voting booth too. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, on the same day. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I go out there. I try to represent
you. Yeah, I know you do, and we appreciate your contribution.
I think it's the Kings. You win the game Friday to start off your in-season tournament. All of a sudden, you got in-season tournament fever.
What about tonight? Never mind Friday.
Tonight, you already know what's supposed to happen tonight. You're playing one of the worst teams in the league that doesn't have two or three of their best players, so you go out and you crush them. That's tonight.
Crush.
If you don't do that, then I'm done. I wash my hands of the whole thing.
But see, that's I don't know about you guys, but that's one of the things I was thinking and saying after the game Monday. It's like, well, if they don't come back and do something Monday – you got problems.
Well, and I agree.
Was,
and
they were worse Monday than they had been
Saturday.
And they
didn't, and they do have problems. And now you've got to go out and you've got to address the problems, whether it's what you guys are saying, kind of not blow it up, but, try something new, which isn't a bad idea to try to light the fire or piss off people, whatever you want to say. So I'm not against that at all. I don't think I start. I think I just go to Ellis is the example. I go to him way sooner than I would have and see if he can bring that kind of energy to my first unit or my second unit.
Yeah, that makes probably the most sense. I'd probably overreact and
put him at center and just run the offense through him.
See what you can do.
Did you hear what Mike Brown said to Coach Kings after the last game? He sounded about as down as I've heard him since he's coached the Kings. And he was talking about so many things. We had no spirit. Mm-hmm. Body language was bad. But he was especially hurt, it seemed, by the term he used, the duck-ins. He said we would have somebody in low block and they would duck in right at the charge line, and he said something like, I've never had a team do that as often to us as they did that night. And he was just devastated by that. What is going on with this team defensively?
Well, not very good. We start there, I guess. But,
they get beaten all over the
all
floor.
All over, yeah. I mean, it's equal opportunity. You could get beat off the dribble. You could give up wide open threes. You could get anything you want in the inside. I mean, certainly, you pointed out some examples, but I mean, Domas really was not good defensively. JaVale actually probably wasn't embarrassing, but he wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And then you just go around the horn. I don't know of anybody that acquitted themselves very well defensively. My only thought on, I mean, not that it made a difference, but I never understood with Monk. He was the only guy. He didn't have a good game necessarily, but he had some energy. And he got in foul trouble. I think he had three fouls.
Yeah, he had three early.
And then you didn't see him again until 35 down or something.
It's too
like,
late, huh?
What are you risking here? And people say, well, he'd foul out. Well, okay.
Right.
If he fouls out and you're down 25 with five to go, I'm not too concerned then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, that is a good point, isn't it?
It is, because I know people, he's got three fouls. You got to sit him down. Well, if I sit him down, it's as bad as if he fouled out right away, because either
he's not on
the floor.
He's out of the game.
That is one of my pet peeves, too, is that how many foul out?
Not that many.
I mean, they get
not
six.
Many. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
many.
Yeah.
Not many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so.
in the old ABA, Jared, by the end of the end of it, you couldn't foul out.
Yeah.
After your seventh.
Kind of like Summer League almost,
Because they didn't have that many good players.
Yeah, if you're
they
a star player, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so it was like after the seventh, it was like a double bonus or something.
Which they just invented on the spot.
On the spot,
which is why
yeah.
I loved it. But isn't as simple as, and I know that you say this at every level, you're not making shots and it affects your defense, and it really seems like that's true. These guys, they're making the effort. We have to play defense, I'll play defense. But if you start missing a couple of shots and you kind of get down a little bit, you relax for half a second or whatever, it really does affect your play on the other side. And I think that
it
is
it does if you're mentally weak.
I know, right? Yes. And I think we're making the point that maybe we are maybe momentarily mentally weak.
Well, I do think, there's clear, what you're saying is exactly right, because if you're not scoring, you're in transition defense.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that transitioned defense is harder than the half-court set defense. Yep. And so I think we're seeing a steady dose of that, you know, shooting long shots, long rebounds, or not you know, you're out in the open court, you got numbers. Well, yeah, don't be too surprised that you're in a hole offensively because, you know, it all that's why I always said that's also the reason why 10-point leads don't mean anything in the NBA. Because a couple of missed shots.
And threes, and then
you're in transition. You got a couple threes, do ball game. The other team, you made them. They're taking the ball out of bounds. You got a little better chance of getting back set.
Yeah, because some of these teams, they are who they are, and they do what they do. I mean,
I've heard that.
Yeah. And sadly,
I subscribe to that.
I hope we're not coming to that, but.
we hope that's not who they are, though.
What do you guys think? This is not an easy question to answer. If you were coaching the team, where would you start right now with trying to get things headed in the right direction? What would be the first thing you did or tried to get the team to do from here?
I would honestly start, number one is just don't take anything but a good open shot. We want to get good open shots. And so whether that can be, certainly I would encourage Domas to look for shots inside, not kick it out.
It's
not necessarily as you go, you might want to get back to that. But there's no reason to get the ball inside, kick it out to guys who ain't going to make shots. Mm-hmm. Try to get some points. So there, do that. And certainly, you got to get some cutters. You get some guys cutting, especially off the ball. You know, say if you get the ball to Domas on one side of the floor, get some cutters on the weak side. There's just no activity.
Get the defense moving.
Moving.
Yeah. So you find
or at least so they have to think about something other than you stay right there and I'll guard you.
How about you, Coach Phantom?
Well, I mean,
first
thing I'm doing is letting everybody know that your minutes are not sacred, and if you're not doing the job, somebody's going to come in and do the job for you. And I'm, going to shake things up because we've got guys out there that are not playing well, and it's offensively and defensively. So if I have a guy, we've talked about Ellis, or it could be anybody else who comes in and shows me something, they're the guy that's going to get the playing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his idea is better than mine.
Well, those are both good ideas. I don't think you guys are going to like mine. The way the team is playing, they're clearly pressing. It's the weight of no Fox, the weight of all the expectation. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to win 50 games this year. And short term, at least one game, I would try to get something positive going. You know what, guys, we're playing basketball. All right. We got a lot of things we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You gotta go out and have a sense of, this is supposed to be fun. And when we were played well last year, we were getting up and down the floor, we were having a good time. It's hard without Fox, and it's no fun losing by 30. But they have to get back to that at home tonight, just playing basketball and not, stopping all the bad body language and the beating themselves up over every mistake they make. I think that because otherwise it was hard to watch.
So you're going back to fun as opposed to kind of challenging.
This is all stuff we have to do. Yeah. This is all true, but forget about that for now. Let's just start here. Let's go back to this and we'll work that stuff back in because right now it's like they're playing. They're all running up down the court with all this. Thoughts in their mind, and they got to do this, we're not doing that, and it's just not effective.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I thought, like in the first quarter of the last game, it's like they'd pretty much packed it in, And it's like, you can't do that. It's like, you got to understand if we keep playing, we'll get a chance to get back in the game. That's the NBA. Yeah. And
they did that on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I think it's the expectations. I think that's where it shows up as much as anything. And then the other thing, we've talked about this, and I know we hear it on the analysts and things. I mean, the league has scouted the Kings, and I think certainly they paid attention to what Golden State did to have success. And so now, because before that, I mean, I don't think teams had a very good idea what was the best way to play the Kings. But in a 7-game series, when you can prepare, you really find some things out. And they took away, the dribble handoffs and a few things like that.
Domas's passing lanes.
Passing lanes.
Diversify a little bit.
And I think the Kings have, got to come up with a couple other ways of getting into stuff, whether it's, high post splits or whatever it is. Just something different.
Yeah. It'd be nice as if you guard a little bit and you get out in transition. But,
No, don't be silly.
Whoa. Hey.
No.
That's like AP stuff. We're not ready for that stuff.
No.
Come on. Wow. Yeah. All of a sudden, woo, we're skipping a couple grades there. Yeah. Oh, man.
Any
No, because wait a minute. Ask a question.
Yeah.
Are you Mr. Basketball?
No, sir.
Okay.
No.
That's him. Right
so,
there.
Mr. Basketball, bring us home, Mr. Basketball. What do you got for us?
Well, I think to your point, to do out there and have fun, like you said, is playing the way that Jerry described, which is cutting and moving, which is what they did all last year. That's what's so discouraging. Coming back, there's no history of failure with this team. There's a history of success, and that's what you have to get back to. And I know we don't like to put – you don't want to put pressure on anybody, but I really think that Sabonis is the star that's remaining on the floor, and Sabonis is the guy that's got to start it off. He's got to be the guy that starts things going.
Did you guys see this tweet? And I apologize. I forget who tweeted it. Somebody who used to be an NBA agent. We're wrapping things up here, but he asked the question, true or false, Sabonis is the 2020s version of David Lee.
Ooh.
I don't think – that's false. But I understand why right now Sabonis has a lot of detractors who are saying,
yes.
Well, he's got to do something about
that. I don't
that.
Like him going coast to coast, but I'm not going to get on the David Lee or David Lee Roth, whatever you want to say. Yeah.
No, not David Lee Roth.
Okay, that guy wasn't good in 2020 either.
You don't like that one, did you, Jerry?
No, I don't see the similarities at all in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, not that David Lee was a pretty good player.
There's also that, yeah.
He's also a pretty good player. Right now, you'd like to have David Lee on his team.
That's right. What's he doing?
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
DL, what are you up to?
Yeah. David, all right. Send the call out.
Yeah, no, just watch your wife play tennis. You got some time off, you know. I kind of go with, you know, the thing that I've seen to me that they've gotten away from when Sabonis first got here, and even when he played in Indiana, it wasn't just dribble handoffs or whatever. They'd get the ball to him and cut.
That's what I want to see.
Because he's great at kind of like Vlade and Webb would do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a lot of those same skills as Brad Miller. I mean, just get the ball to him and get cutters moving off of him. And you just don't see that anymore.
Yeah. Dribble handoff, I understand it. But I'm defending and you do dribble handoffs, like, okay. I mean, you're not really compromising the defense. I know
to
set up something else, but especially when you're not shooting well, like, you can do that all day. I don't care.
Yeah, to me, that's one of those things that should be, you know, 3 or 4 times a half instead of that's a main
that's
staple
your
of your offense.
Bread and butter. Yeah.
Because even screen rolls way better than that overall.
Yes. Well, there you go. Problems solved.
Problems solved.
Tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Who knows where we'll be next week, but we will be back with you in 1 week here on the Old Fashioned 3.
Three.
Thank you for joining the Old Fashioned 3 on Stones Radio Networks. To stay updated on the show, like and subscribe on YouTube, and all shows are available for download on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, at StonesRadioNetworks.com. Follow the show and the gents on Twitter at OL, Fashioned, and the number 3, at Phantom Radio 60, and at Whitey Gleason. This has been a production of Stones Radio Networks.